The text and title of my message this morning is from verse 15, where the Bible says, we read it a minute ago, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you," and I'm not going to say that are at Rome also, but to you that are in this room. I am more than ready. I am anxious. I am excited. I can't wait. In fact, I was so excited, I just decided to do a little bit of preaching in Sunday school. And those of you that are here know what I mean. But you know, the Bible says that the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, and I like to share good news. I've always envied those people that could come into a room and share good news. For example, I've always envied the doctors that could come into the examining room after you had just completed your physical and say, "Everything's okay. No problem. You are at the perfect weight." That would be good news for me, maybe not for you, but for me, because my doctor has never told me that. But I'd like to be that doctor that comes into the room after the surgery and says, "Hey, everything came out the way we expected to. We got everything done that we wanted to get done. You should make a full 100% recovery, and it shouldn't take you much time at all to recover from this surgery." All right, I envy the doctor that gets to come in and tell a waiting dad it's a little boy or it's a little girl. I even envy the policeman who, after he comes up to the window and takes your license and your registration and goes back to his car, comes back and says, "Okay, it's just going to be a warning this time." That's good news, isn't it? Good news. Or that lawyer that calls you on the phone and says, "Your long-lost uncle included you in his will, and here's a check for $1 million. I mean, good news. I've envied people that could tell good news, but the good news that I'm going to tell you this morning is better news than any doctor ever delivered, better news than any dentist who came in and said, "No cavities," better news than any dentist delivered, better news than any lawyer delivered, better news than any policeman delivered. I am going to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, before you say, "Well, preacher, why are you doing that?" Most of us here this morning are saved. Well, I always go back to that song, "I love to tell the story to those who know it best, for they seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that we have loved so long." So I know most of you here this morning are saved. Most of you have been saved for a while. It doesn't matter. Even those of us that are saved on our way to heaven, we need to be reminded of the price that was paid for our salvation. We need to be reminded of the love that took our Savior to the cross to die in our place. So I don't apologize. I don't ever apologize to preaching the gospel to Christians, because they need to hear it just like everybody else. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I have some wonderful news for you this morning. I have some good news for you this morning. God loves you. God loves you. I don't know of any better news than that. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, the God that made everything that we see when we look around us this morning, the God that holds it all together, sustains it, as the Bible says, that God of great power, that God of great knowledge, that God that is able to be everywhere at the same time, loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I don't know how many times I've got to say that. I don't know how many more times I'll get to say it, but I can't think of a better thing to tell you this morning than God loves you. You know, we look at the first four books of the New Testament and we call them the Gospels, and they are, because they tell us the story of Jesus Christ. They tell us about his birth. They tell us about his life. They tell us about the miracles that he worked, the sermons that he preached, the lessons that he taught. They tell us how that he went to the cross and died to our place. And in Sunday school this morning, we were in one of the Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark, talking about the crucifixion, talking about the resurrection. And even though the book of Romans isn't known as a gospel, it has more gospel in it than most other books in the Bible. And so this morning, I'm going to stay in the book of Romans, and I'm going to give you some wonderful news. I think I have 6 or 7 or 8 points. And so if your roast is in the oven, you're in trouble. No, I'm just teasing you. You'll get out just about right on time. But I want you to listen, because this is good news. Number one, I want to tell you this morning, God will clear your record. In Romans chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." You see, in the books of heaven, God records every one of our sins. Every lie that I have told is recorded in a book in heaven. Every act of disobedience that I took part in is recorded in the book of heaven. Every time I've had a bad attitude about something, every time I've said something that I shouldn't have said, every time I've been unkind when I should have been kind, every time I haven't expressed gratitude in the way that I should, every time that I've wanted something that wasn't mine, every one of those times is recorded in the book of heaven. But I want to tell you something this morning. It's good news. God will clear your record. He will wipe it all away. By the way, when he wipes it away, he doesn't take an eraser and wipe it away so that if you look real close, you can still see it. He purges it from the book of heaven. In fact, my second point is, he will make your record in heaven just like you've never sinned. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will not only purge your record, but he will make it so where you don't see the eraser marks. He doesn't use whiteout to cover it up. He completely takes it off your record so that when God looks at it the next time, he has to say, that person has never sinned. There's not one act of disobedience recorded. There's not one lie recorded. There's not one bad attitude recorded. There's not one act of unkindness recorded. That page is pure. That page is white. He will make us just as if we've not sinned. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification." That word justification, here's what it means. Just as if I never sinned. He justified us. He made us just as if we've never sinned. So he cleaned our record off. Every sin. And by the way, I know there may be some people who say, "Well, preacher, it doesn't apply to me because I never sinned." Oh, really? Never? You know, the sin is breaking the commandments of God. And I just go back to the Ten Commandments. I sometimes run into little children and say, "Well, I've never sinned, preacher." I always get down real close to their face and I say, "Have you ever lied?" And sometimes they'll look away because they don't want to look me in the eye. "Have you ever lied?" And then they say, "No." I remember one little boy. I had my nose right up next to his. I said, "Have you ever lied?" And when he shook his head, he hit my nose back and forth like that. I said, "Really? You never lied?" I said, "Well, let me ask you one other thing. Did you ever do something that your mom or dad told you not to? Ever in your whole..." He was only about 8 years old. I said, "Ever in your whole life, have you ever done anything that your mom or dad told you not to?" And he leaned back a little bit and, "One time." I said, "You know what? That one time makes you a sinner. Because the Bible says honor your father and mother, and honoring your father and mother is and obeying them. So if you've disobeyed mom, even just one time in your 8 years," I said, "that's doing pretty good if it's only one time in 8 years. But even if it's only one time, that makes you a sinner." God recorded that sin in heaven. But the good news is this morning that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will wipe that sin off your record. He will justify you. He will make you just as if you never sinned. Here's another part of the good news. He will never add another sin to your record. Never. When you ask Jesus to be your Savior, he wipes every sin you've ever committed off the record. He makes it a clear, pure white page in the book of heaven, and he promises, I'll never add another sin to that record. In Romans 4:8, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will never write another sin on the page of his record in heaven. You say, preacher, does that mean when we get saved, we never sin again? I wish it did, but it doesn't. We're just still sinners. And we will still do things that displease God. We will still do things that break God's law. But he doesn't write those sins on our record. All those sins are like the ones we committed before we got saved. They are paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus died for us, we talked about in Sunday school this morning, God laid on him every sin that we ever committed. And in our case, every sin that we ever committed were all in the future. None of them were in the past because none of us sinned before Jesus died. All of our sins that we committed are in the future. We're in the future. And God knew all those sins and he laid them on his son. And so when we ask Jesus to save us and he saves us, God says, not only have I taken every sin off your record, I'll never write another one there. Now, some people think that that gives us a license to sin. Well, if God doesn't write another sin on my record, that means I can do anything I want to. That's right. But if we've been saved, we don't want to. If we've been changed, if we've been saved, all things become new. We become a new person, and we don't have a want to sin anymore. Say, preacher, I still do. Well, so do I. That old man that still lives inside of me, that old nature that I have, that fights with the new nature that I was given when I became a child of God, the Holy Spirit, they still fight with one another. They still have battles with one another over what I'm going to do. And you know the one who wins? The one who I say, sick 'em to. If I say sick 'em to my old nature, then that old nature takes over and I do things that I should not want to do. But I tell you what, when I do, I don't have any peace about it. Because I have the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of me. And some people call it your conscience. It's not your conscience because there are some people that are not saved that have a conscience. But I have the Holy Spirit of God who when I sin, comes in and rebukes me, comes in and reminds me the price that was paid for that sin, the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for that sin, and says, look, you're under the blood. You've been saved. No more of that. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then he used the strongest terms he said. He said, no, 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 God forbid. Just because you'll never impute another sin to our record doesn't give us a license to sin. Every time we sin as a Christian, we disappoint our Heavenly Father. We break his heart. And so he says, I'll not only wipe every sin off of your record, I'll not only make the page of your record a pure page, I will never add another sin to your record, but I will add something. I'll never add another sin, but I will add something. I'll add the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your record. In Romans 5:19, the Bible says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. God takes the righteousness, the rightness of Jesus Christ, the good things that he did, the good that he is, and he says, because you're under his blood, because you've received him, because you've asked him to save you, I'm going to take his righteousness and I'm going to put that on your record. He'll never record an act of my unkindness to anybody on my record, but he'll record the kindness of Christ on my record. He'll never record a misspoken word on my record, but he'll record the right words that Jesus spoke on his record. On my record. He'll never record on my record those times I was not grateful for things that people did for me. But he will record on my record the gratefulness as expressed by his son. When God looks at my record, it is a record that has no sin. It is a record that has the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, if you're a Christian, what he's done for me, he's done for you. He has taken your record. He has wiped away every sin. He has made that page a pure, clean, empty page. He made you a promise, I'll never add another sin to that record, but I will add the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'll add his goodness, his righteousness to your record. But it doesn't end there. I want to give you some more good news. Not only does he do all that, but he comes to live with me. He comes to live with me. I have God residing with me this morning. I have had God residing with me from the moment I knelt on my knees in front of that old red vinyl couch in my pastor's study and asked Jesus to be my Savior. The Holy Spirit of God has resided in me since that moment. But if Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in me. When I read this book, he's the one that wrote it, so he helps me understand it. When I stand to preach this book, I preach in his power. I don't preach in my power. I don't preach with my wisdom. I don't have any. But I have the Holy Spirit of God that takes the words of this book, drives them into my heart, drives them into your heart, drives them into my mind, drives them into your mind, and works. We have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in each one of us. But there's more than that. More than that. I mean, this good news just keeps going on and on and on and on. It's like the baby doctor that comes in to the waiting dad and said, you have a little boy. But he said, just a minute, I'll be right back. He comes back a few minutes later, you got a little girl. He said, I only thought we were expecting one. He said, oh no, I'll be right back. He comes back a few minutes later. You got another little boy. By this time, Dad's sitting in a chair, sweating great drops of blood. Doctor says, I'll be right back. True story. I read it in Reader's Digest the other morning. He comes back in a few minutes. You have another little girl. Two boys. Two little girls. Expecting one. You got four. Where's modern medicine when you need it? Doctor says, I think we're all done. The dad sits down. He wonders, what are we going to do? We have one baby bed. We got four babies. We got one high chair. We got four babies. We got one stroller. We got four babies. The doctor comes back in. True story. Another little boy. But I can assure you, that's all. This good news from God just keeps going on and on and on. Not only does he wipe our record clean, not only does he make it pure, not only does he promise I'll never write another sin upon it and add the righteousness of God to our record, not only does he live with me, but I am his child. And one day, I'll go live with him. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. This morning, I want you to know what my Savior is doing. This morning, my Savior is in heaven preparing a place for me in that place. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. And one of these days, I don't know if it will be when I hear the trumpet and that voice that says, come up hither, and I get caught up in the rapture with all of us that are left to meet the Lord in the air, or I don't know if it's going to be when my heart stops beating and my lungs quit breathing and I lay down in death. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and whether it comes by way of death or by way of the rapture, I want you to know that you're looking at a preacher that one day, is going to go to heaven and live with his Savior forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have the same hope. You have the same promise that he is now preparing a place for you, and one of these days he will come again so that where he is, you may be also. Say, preacher, that's good news. Never heard it put such just quite like that. How do I get it? How do I take advantage of it? Simple. Number one, admit you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the book of Romans, the book of Romans says, there's none righteous, no, not one. That includes every single person. Every single person is a sinner. You may be like that little boy, and you may be able to look back to one time you disobeyed mom and dad. The Bible says, if we're guilty of one, breaking one, we're guilty of all. One sin makes us a sinner. One sin puts us under the condemnation of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Again, not physical death where we're separated from our body, but physical or spiritual death where we are separated from God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But again, God loved us. He loves us. And because he loved us, he sent his son to die in our place. He sent his son to pay for our sins. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, when Jesus went to Calvary, he bore none of his own sins because he did not have any. He was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. No, he went to the cross with no sins of his own. He went to the cross with my sins. He went to the cross with your sins. Every sin of every person was paid for on Calvary that day. By his death, he purchased our salvation. In Romans 6:23, again, it says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, preacher, that's wonderful. But how do I get it? You take it. That's all you do is take it. I'm going to leave the book of Romans for a minute and go to the book of John. John 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you've never done that this morning, I beg you, do it this morning. Do it right now. You believe on the name of Jesus Christ. You believe that when he went to Calvary, he paid for every one of your sins, every one of them. He'll never write another one on your record. He'll prepare that place for you in heaven if you believe on him. What that means, I illustrate last, you just sit down in him. You just completely rest in him. I've told you this story before, but it's a good way to end. Guy stretches a tightrope across Niagara Falls. A crowd gathers because they want to see. They're sure he'll hear a fall. They'd like to see somebody die. So they gather. He takes his long pole. He's got those tight roping slippers on. And so he takes his long pole, gets out on that wire, balances himself, and crosses from one side of Niagara Falls to the other. He then puts aside his pole and pulls out a wheelbarrow. And this time, he pushes the wheelbarrow, balancing himself with the wheelbarrow in front of him, he pushes it across Niagara Falls. By this time, the crowd's going wild. Hey, what a wonderful act. And so he stands before the crowd and says, how many of you think I can do that again? And everybody in the crowd raises their hand. Oh, I think you can do it again. Do it again. Do it again. And so he points to one guy that's a little bit loud down in the front of the crowd. He said, okay, you think I can do it again? Yeah. Get in the wheelbarrow. You think I can do it again? Get in the wheelbarrow. And that's what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You get in the wheelbarrow. and you let him push you across that great gulf that separates you and God. The gulf of your sin, paid for by his blood. I want to tell you something. He makes it every time. Nobody that's ever gotten a wheelbarrow has ever got hurt. Nobody has that ever has gotten in the wheelbarrow didn't make it to the other side. Everybody that got in the wheelbarrow made it from their sin to the Savior's love. Everybody that got in the wheelbarrow got out from under the condemnation of sin and came in to his righteousness. Would you get in the wheelbarrow this morning? That's as simple as I know how to make it. Just get in the wheelbarrow. He'll save you. He'll save you. You need to do it now. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Would you do it right now? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that love. Thank you for the price that was paid for our salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for making it free, offering it to every single person. And I thank you this morning that many here already have gotten a wheelbarrow. Many here already this morning have asked Jesus to save them. But Father, I know there's some, a handful, one or two or three that are here this morning that have never done that. They've never asked Jesus to save them. They've never gotten a wheelbarrow. They're still separated from their God by that mighty chasm of sin. There's nothing they can do to cross it. They can't do it by their goodness. They can't do it by a church membership. They can't even do it by getting baptized. The only way they can do it is let Jesus do it for them. Father, would you give them simple childlike faith this morning? Would you help them get in the wheelbarrow? Help them to let Jesus push them to safety. I pray that for every person here that's never been saved. Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. I hope we walk out of this place this morning loving you more than when we came in, because we've been reminded of the price that was paid for our salvation. Please bless this invitation. Help those that need to come for salvation. Maybe there's some here that need to come for baptism. Maybe there's some here you've talked to about joining the church. I pray, Father, that they'd be obedient to how the Holy Spirit's leading them. Just bless this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.